Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio-exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's the Paul Gallant Show.
Pauly G Show. He's the best in Houston.
Houston's most interactive sports talk show.
Hey, how's it going, Paul?
Oh, what's good, my man?
How you doing, Paul?
What are you doing, Paul?
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at Senate Avenue Brewing Company in Jersey Village. Here's Paul Gallant.
The second pick will be made by the San Antonio Spurs, and that means that the number one pick in the 2025 NBA draft goes to the Dallas Mavericks.
Ugh, what a load of crap, huh? Dallas Mavericks trade Luka Doncic to the Los Angeles Lakers. They get very little in return, and they get bailed out after trading a generational player away with the ability to draft a generational player in a draft that's just months after they made that awful, dumb, stupid, unforgivable trade. It is the kind of trade that really does make you believe that the NBA is rigged, no matter how much proof they put in front of you. And I've been saying this all show long. The NBA should have rigged the draft to look a little less rigged. They should have. This is going to be talked about for years. And maybe that's what they want, honestly. Is it possible that this NBA draft lottery wasn't rigged? I suppose you could really make that case if you want to, but just take a look at the history of the draft, the amount of times that after something bad has happened for an organization that seems undeserving, that they have all of a sudden found themselves with an incredible player in their laps. I just don't think it's possible to completely diffuse all the hot take artists out there who think it's rigged. 2008. Derrick Rose goes to Chicago. Bulls at a 1.7% chance of winning the lottery. Cavaliers get the number one pick after LeBron James left the summer prior. Honestly, the Cavaliers getting the number one pick the summer that LeBron was in the draft. 2012, Pelicans get the number one pick after Chris Paul leaves. 2014, the Cavaliers get the number one picks to give them the assets needed to bring Kevin Love to Cleveland. 2019, the Pelicans get the number one pick after Anthony Davis demands a trade. And then 2025, the Mavericks get the number one pick after trading Luka Doncic at the trade deadline. Maybe it's not rigged every single year, but the fact that so many teams that have had a 1% chance of winning the entire NBA draft lottery have won it suggests that those teams have perhaps had a better than 1% chance. And I know there's all sorts of ideas that maybe there are state-run lotteries that are rigged. I think we had something like that in our own backyard. And if that's the case, you're going to look at that, you're going to look at this, and you're going to wonder if the fix was in. It's not just that. You've also got the San Antonio Spurs, once again, having an early pick. If it doesn't seem fishy to you, I don't know what to tell you, even if it wasn't fishy at all. Like, they could show me all the evidence that proves them innocent, and I would still demand more of them. And I think everyone with a cynical, skeptical, or curious mind would feel the exact same way. But anyway, let's get past the fact that the NBA draft lottery theoretically is rigged and that the league should have done better to rig it to make it look unrigged. What does this mean for the Houston Rockets? who instead of getting pick 9 or a top 4 pick, which they had a chance to get, end up with pick 10, which was what they had a 24% chance to get. There was a 50% chance that they would get pick number 9. What are they going to do next? Because, okay, the Dallas Mavericks in your division have the number 1 overall pick and are expected to take Cooper Flagg and already have Kyrie Irving and Anthony Davis on their team. And then the San Antonio Spurs, who have Victor Wembanyama, who's a freak. I remember there's that picture of him with Tim Duncan and David Robinson, who are both 7-footers. He's a foot taller than both of them. At least it looks that way. Maybe a half foot. Full head, at least. You've got, after that, Stephon Castle, the reigning rookie of the year, falling into their lap last year. Now all of a sudden, they have the number 2 pick, so they could take whoever they want after Cooper Flagg. Or they could package that number 2 pick and trade it for someone like Giannis Antetokounmpo. I don't know how many people saw the many clips of Brian Windhorst yesterday talking about the possibilities for Giannis Antetokounmpo in a potential trade. He had talked about how Houston and San Antonio are in Texas, how Giannis is very aware of the tax situation in Texas. I mean, the Spurs getting a piece of ammunition like this screams they're going to try and go get Giannis with it. Why not? And all of a sudden you have Victor Wembanyama and Giannis. And on top of that, you've got Stephon Castle. I mean, you've become the international team of everybody that doesn't live in the United States, right? Like, if you're a European, you're a European Union guy, big EU guy, I mean, you're looking at this and you're like, yeah, representation. Look at this. We got France. We got Greece. Let's go. So, I mean, for the few people that are out there that are like that, yeah, that's a possibility. But if both those teams are about to acquire something, don't the Rockets have to do the same thing? Don't the Rockets have to do something now? I mean, this wasn't quite worst-case scenario for the Rockets, but it's pretty damn close to. Because they end up with a pick worse than the one that they were projected to get. And the two in-state rivals just got the best two lottery tickets when it perhaps wasn't deserved. And okay, with the Spurs, maybe you can make the argument it was, but the Mavericks, it absolutely wasn't. So does that mean the Rockets have to make a move, even if that move doesn't exactly add up with the way that they're looking at themselves going into the future? There was a report from Kelly Eco about the Rockets and their possible pursuit of Kevin Durant on The Athletic. He wrote this, quote, "While Durant is widely seen as the most attainable of the potential free agents this offseason, or not free agents, the potential trade targets of NBA teams this offseason, Giannis Antetokounmpo, Devin Booker, among others, Durant is widely seen as the most attainable of that group. He is known to be very interested in playing in Houston. Sources said the Rockets still have significant reservations about that possible partnership, in large part because Durant's age would be so out of sync with their younger timeline. It's worth noting that previous talks between the teams about Durant, per Rockets sources, were initiated by the Suns." I wonder if last night changed that, because that article came out earlier in the week. And I'm sure that the Rockets were probably looking at themselves in the mirror thinking, there's no way that the Dallas Mavericks of all teams get the number 1 overall pick with the Spurs getting the number 2 pick. They must have thought that going into the lottery night. They must have thought, there's no way that this completely goes against what we're looking for, right? So things have to change a little bit. If not for Rafael Stone, if not for Ime Udoka, it has to change in some way, shape, or form, I would imagine, for the Fertittas. If you're the Fertittas, you're definitely looking at the other teams in the state. And you got to think big picture. And you got to wonder if patience is going to pay off when these teams, without having to do patience, without having to show it, without having to wait, all of a sudden have these things just drop into their lap, so the Rockets have to force something here. So that's going to be really interesting to see. What do the Fertittas see when they saw that both the Mavericks and the Spurs will be picking first and second overall? I would imagine that there will be a little bit of pressure for the Rockets to do something, because standing pat isn't necessarily going to get them any further. And pat might be the way. More from Kelly Eco in a season-ending article that he wrote with Sam Amick of The Athletic. Quote, the Rockets have previously held serious interest in the Suns' Devin Booker, but team sources said that is no longer the case. Not only do team officials still have faith in Jalen Green, who is 5 years younger than Devin Booker and $66 million cheaper over the next three seasons, but also Booker's struggles last season shifted the thinking on this front. As for Williamson, who has spent the majority of his six seasons falling short of expectations while experiencing health issues along the way, team sources said the Rockets see him as too risky. Let's talk about Zion Williamson, who was out there for the NBA draft lottery representing the New Orleans Pelicans. I don't think Zion or Devin Booker are going to happen, but I do think that Durant is more likely to happen after what happened last night. I think it has to be a little bit more than what happened last night, after what happened last night. So we'll see what they do. We've also saw this about Jalen Green, and this might be the Rockets posturing a little bit, but, you know, the part about not only do team officials still have faith in Jalen Green, that part is, I think, noteworthy, to still have faith in him after the playoff series that we just saw him struggle in. So, look, I'm not advocating for the Rockets to get aggressive to make a move because of what happened in the NBA draft lottery last night. But don't be surprised if there's more pressure now on both Rafael Stone and Ime Udoka to make something big happen this offseason, now that both teams in state, the Mavericks and the Spurs, have more ammunition to significantly improve themselves this offseason. It's the Paul Gallant Show. You want to jump in, 713-780-3776 to call to text, on YouTube at ESPN Houston, on Twitch at ESPN 975. So you want to weigh in on that, you can, or if the NBA draft lottery is rigged. Is there a way to unrig the NBA draft lottery? Is there anything that could be done to make you have a little more faith in it? Because I think now we've just accepted, yeah, it's rigged, and that's part of the entertainment side of this. Up next, everything else that happened in the NBA last night, including the Rockets' victory. Check that. The Rockets' moral victory against the Golden State Warriors, if you want to call it that, is looking less and less impressive by the day. And I suppose that there's finally a series in the Eastern Conference that your boy should be worried about. I'm Paul Gallant. It's the Paul Gallant Show, most interactive sports talk show in town. Stay put.
Listen to ESPN 97.5 in HD, 97.9 HD2. This is the Paul Gallant Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at Senate Avenue Brewing Company in Jersey Village. Here's Paul Gallant.
Most interactive sports talk show in town. You want to jump in, 713-780-3776 to call the text. YouTube at ESPN Houston, Twitch at ESPN 975. We're live at Senate Ave Brewing Company on this beautiful yet warm, very warm day. I don't know if this is one of the days this week where we're supposed to break record highs. Hopefully no derechos are on the horizon. I feel like this is a sign when the weather starts getting warm that some crap's about to hit the fan. Some questions were asked about what the Rockets could theoretically do now that they have the 10th overall pick. I got an email from the Rockets PR staff. And listen, the Rockets PR staff's just doing what they're supposed to do. But they sent me this graphic, and it says, we picked 10th. Rockets awarded pick number 10 in 2025 NBA draft. Doesn't feel like it was awarded. Doesn't feel like it was awarded at all. Feels like there were some leftovers and you got those, you're not getting your first pick of a sandwich. You're getting your, like, 10th pick. Something gross like ham and cheese. Ugh, disgusting. Ham is gross. Hot take. Some comments. Rockets need to trade the 10th pick to the Clippers for James Harden. Sir, I hope you stub your toe. I hope you stub your toe today. Texter who put that in there. How dare you? I would rather... What would I rather do? And I'm sure a lot of people would prefer this, but I would certainly rather... I don't want to go mute. I do have to pay the bills. But I would rather suffer a serious injury to my elbow or leg than see James Harden here again. Yep. Said it. If that guy comes back here, I will be so bummed out. The team will become losers overnight. Can't have a guy like that leading your team. Just can't. It's proven, beyond proven at this point. For Titas and whatever they feel for him, move on. Can't believe that people admire that guy. Really can't. As a player, maybe he's nice off the court. Don't care. This stuff on the court, despicable, disgusting. Nope. More comments here from the 346. If you cannot trade for Giannis without giving up 2/3 of your starters, then Durantula should be a viable choice. However, giving up any starters instead of benchers and draft picks may be too much of a price for an aging superstar. What say you? I only want to trade draft picks for Durant. That's how I'm looking at it. I don't think that these moves that were made by I don't think that the Mavericks getting the first overall pick and the Spurs getting the second overall pick mean that the Rockets need to make a move this offseason. I'm just curious as to how the Rockets front office views it. Because all front offices, to a degree, they have to be reactive to what's going on across the NBA and their respective leagues. You have to, you know. And I think that certainly over these 2 years that Ime Udoka has earned all the benefit of the doubt and Rafael Stone has earned a lot of the benefit of the doubt back that he probably lost during the Steven Silas era. So there is definitely a possibility that the Rockets just stay patient. But, I mean, I wouldn't even trade Jalen Green for Kevin Durant. I would include Green in a package for someone like Giannis. I'd consider adding Alperen Şengün to a package for someone like Giannis. And that might be now what you have to do if you want to get him. You have to first off convince Giannis that it's way better to play in Houston than it is in San Antonio. That Ime Udoka is a better coach than whoever's stepping in for Greg Popovich. Whose name off the top of my head I forget. Whatever. I mean, at this moment in time, he's an unproven commodity. So that's what you do if you're Houston. You first off just say, hey, we have the best food, the most range for food, and we know Giannis likes food. We have a better looking city, to a degree. I mean, oh, the Riverwalk, whatever. Giannis would get over the Riverwalk very, very quickly. Giannis is a man of Athens. He's been around culture. He's been around civilization that's been in existence for thousands of years, you know? So, I mean, Houston, I think he's got a little more chutzpah, a little more charisma than San Antonio. Just me. I've only driven through San Antonio. Sorry to all the San Antonians out there. But basically right now, yeah, that's what Houston has to do. You just got to lobby him. Hey, Hakeem Olajuwon, your guy. He had a great working relationship with you. Want to come to Houston? Good food in Houston? No state income tax in Texas? Like you're going to have to pitch a lot of different things there. And that's where I would consider moving Jalen Green or a Şengün. But if I'm getting a Durant, I want to trade draft picks, and that's it. How many draft picks I'd have to give up? That I do wonder about. But as Amen Thompson continues to develop his offensive repertoire, I feel like you need somebody who's got those skills. And Jalen Green, for now, he does have those skills. 713-780-3776 to call the text. YouTube at ESPN Houston. Twitch at ESPN 975. Yeah, people are just trolling me. Eric the Driver says, the Rockets are trying to trade for an established veteran, former MVP, like a lefty with a beard. Stop. I know y'all are trolling me. Another texter from the 281. Durant to Houston. Jalen Green to Orlando. KCP. Oh, is that Kentavious Caldwell-Pope? We calling him KCP now? And the Suns picks the Rockets' own to Phoenix. Thoughts. Whatever. I look at these trades.
you could throw a prospective trade out there, and maybe they'd accept it, maybe they won't, but the trade speculation, not really a game I want to play. Anyway, guys, most interactive sports talk show in Houston. 713-780-3776 to call and to text it. And by speculation, I mean the actual price, how many assets you'd have to give up. Like, you could play that game all you want, but clearly what we view is not necessarily how NBA teams view their own assets, i.e. the Luka Doncic trade. Let's go around the NBA really quickly. Give me a little roundabout rock back at Mission Control, Sean Mapes.
Basketball, give me the ball because I'm gonna dunk it. Basketball, give me the ball because I'm gonna dunk it.
The Warriors are now down 3-1. They lost 117-110 to the Minnesota Timberwolves last night, and I'm feeling less and less happy about the Rockets' noble defeat against the Warriors, especially when I'm seeing this guy stink. The guy who, just his appearance, no offense to him, you can't control how you look, although you can control your hair, you can control your facial hair. This guy who just completely annoyed me because he had a couple of good games against the Rockets. Brandon Podziemski is shooting 9 for 40 from the field in 4 games this series. That is the worst of any player in a series since 2014, when someone named Pero Antic shot 16.7% for Atlanta. Ugh. Yeah. Does seem like the Warriors are on the verge of being eliminated. I suppose there is some solace to be found in that. Steph Curry's hamstring issue, something they weren't able to overcome. It's really looking rough for them from a scoring perspective out there. They have at least stuck in there, hung around the last couple of games, and they did win game one. But, yeah, without Steph Curry, completely different team. And you do have to wonder, how will this team look another year older next year with Jimmy Butler, with Draymond Green, and with Steph Curry all turning 38 and 36 and 36 respectively. But, yeah, Brandon Podziemski coming back down to earth. Buddy Hield being a little bit more human, too. It sucks that your awesome defense let those guys, because of all the attention you were paying to Steph Curry, get open looks and that they actually hit them. Your plan was for them to not do that thing. Meanwhile, in the series between the Celtics and the New York Mets, the Mets took down the Celtics 121-113 last night. Big game for Thurman Munson. He was awesome. I mean, absolutely incredible in that game, Thurman Munson. Jeff Bridges, also pretty good. And the Towns, man, really impressive performance by everyone on the Mets. And I guess it's actually a series against the Celtics. So it's 3-1 in favor of the New York Mets against the Boston Celtics in this Eastern Conference semifinal series. It's been a really long time since the Mets have made it to the Eastern Conference Finals. Oh, I'm getting some notifications here. Oh, my bad. It's the New Jersey Nets. New Jersey Nets who beat the Boston Celtics last night 121-113. And yeah, I guess it's a series. It's 3-1. And I mean, man, it would be a shame if a team that is playing against another team that just lost its best player to possibly a torn Achilles couldn't hold on to a 3-1 series lead. It's not like any team in their city's ever blown a 3-1 series lead before, a 3-0 series lead for that matter. That's never happened, at least to my knowledge, right? Anyway, yeah, how about that? By the way, for those who don't know, I am a Celtics fan. I may or may not be disrespecting the team that the Celtics are playing in this round because I just don't recognize them.
The Garden.
Shut up. Did anyone see what happened to Jason Tatum last night? It didn't look good. Is it bad that as a Celtics fan, I'm hoping that, like Paul Pierce all those years ago, that Jason Tatum merely had a really rough moment where he had to go to the bathroom? Like the time that Paul Pierce got wheeled off the court? Like, is it possible that maybe he just had to go too really bad? Is it possible? I'm just asking the question here. Tonight, Game 5 between the Pacers and Cavs, with Indiana holding a 3-1 series lead on Cleveland. But if you're a Cleveland Cavaliers fan, do not worry, because Darius Garland says there's nothing the Cavs do quite like coming back from down 3-1.
this franchise has been down 3-1 before. This group can do it. We got the talent. We got the skill set. The camaraderie is always there. Just got to just go out there and play with our physicality that we play with, and play our brand of basketball.
This is what we do as a franchise. We come back from down 3-1. Although you had LeBron, you had Kyrie before. So slightly different on that front. Also, as we continue to go around the National Basketball Association, you got game 5 between Denver and Oklahoma City with that series tied at 2 games apiece. I still think the Thunder are going to win it, but Denver and that veteran moxie have proven to be quite scrappy. So there you go, everybody. Also, one last clip I want to play. I think I understand now why the... Oh, yeah, they're the New York Knicks, huh? I think I now understand why New York is called the Knicks and not their original nickname.
Time has been a nightmare for the Boston Celtics. You know who it hasn't been a nightmare for? The New York Knickerbockers.
I'm sorry, that word just does not sound good. It just does not sound good. It's one of those words where I'm like completely uncomfortable saying it. That and Jackson Smith Najigba of the Seattle Seahawks. Just don't feel comfortable saying it. Shout out to Doris Burke having the stones to say that online. Immediately jokes were made. Immediately they were made. And on that note, guys, that is Around the National Basketball Association on the Paul Gallant Show, most interactive sports talk show in town. You want to jump in, 713-780-3776 to call, to text, on YouTube at ESPN Houston, on Twitch at ESPN 975. Up next, is the NBA draft rigged? And do last night's results mean that the Houston Rockets must make a trade for Kevin Durant or some other veteran player, since they have the 10th pick and the Mavericks have pick 1, the Spurs pick 2. You answer that. It's the Paul Gallant Show. Stay put.
ESPN 97.5.
This is the Paul Gallant Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at Senate Avenue Brewing Company in Jersey Village. Here's Paul Gallant.
Most interactive sports talk show in town. Dallas Mavericks got the number 1 overall pick. Spurs picked number 2 in the NBA draft lottery last night. Also, the Astros lost 7-5 to the Kansas City Royals. They play the Royals again tonight. From the sound of things, Jose Altuve, who played second base yesterday, is going to be designated hitter. And Yordan Alvarez is not going to be back in. Framber Valdez on the hill, coming off of probably his best start of the season. He looked really good in his last outing against a Kansas City Royals team that... Yeah, they're all right. They're certainly better than the Astros right now, who are 20-20. Royals, they're 24-18. So we'll see what happens in that game. I am curious about when we finally see Yordan Alvarez back out on the hill. You want to weigh in on the NBA draft lottery or on the Astros and some lineup tinkering, you can. Saw this today from Bill Belichick. He did his first TV interview since the CBS Mornings interview that his girlfriend, Jordan Hudson, kept interrupting. Softball interview with CBS this morning. In his first TV interview, he said that Jordan Hudson doesn't have anything to do with North Carolina football. I'm sure that that has been just preached to Bill. Bill, you got to say this. You've got to say this the next time you're in front of a TV. You've got to tell people that Jordan has nothing to do with our beloved Tar Heels. So that's going to be probably the
the narrative, the public narrative going forward, coming out of Tar Heels football, as they try to get further and further from all of these many embarrassing moments that the program has, I guess, experienced entirely because Bill Belichick is shaboinking somebody 50 years younger than him. So, step one accomplished. Do an interview, answer a tough question, and say that Jordan Hudson's just my boo thing. She's not a part of the North Carolina Tar Heel football program. She's not Sandra Bullock in The Blind Side, overstepping boundaries. Nope, that's not her. What else is going on today on this Tuesday here at Senate Avenue Brewing Company? You see this? You hear about this? Livy Dunn, strong, powerful, independent woman, is going to be on the cover of the sports suit of the Sports Illustrated Swimsuit magazine. I didn't know that they still made it, but there you go, guys. That's fun. And on top of that, guess what, guys? Paul Skeens was named to Team USA for the World Baseball Classic. Hell yeah, man. America is so back. And America's greatest sports power couple, even more back. Let's go. Hell yeah. USA. 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 What else is going on in the world of sports? What else? What's going on? You see this? You hear about this? American Gladiators is going to come back to television. Used to be on from 1989 to 1996. Amateur athletes competing against each other and a panel of gladiators in various strength and agility challenges. So that's coming back. Honestly, with how the Astros are looking right now, any extra entertainment options, I will gladly take any of them. Please, give me more. I need more. It is so, so, so alarming, the slow start. And I get it. They're 500. But, I don't know. It just feels off. It feels off. Two of the last three games, they're getting their doors blown off. Whether it's Lance McCullers pitching for the first time in years, or it's, you know, A.J. Blueball, or yesterday you got, I forget the guy's name already. The guy who pitched last night for the Astros. How am I forgetting it? How am I forgetting his name? Not a good sign. Ryan Gusto. You know, he doesn't even make it through three innings. He's allowing 700 runs. It's 7-0 early on. And the offense did at least score runs and get hits with runners in scoring position. They were 4-for-8 with runners in scoring position, but they also left a bases loaded situation, and they're the worst team hitting the ball with the bases loaded in all the major leagues. So, yeah, man, it's not looking so good. I need alternative entertainment options. I just need them, okay? So hopefully we'll get some as this summer continues, because, yeah, man. I'm just not feeling it right now. I'm not feeling it. It's not looking good. It's looking bad, in fact. Looking bad. What else is going on in the wide world of sports? What else? These two games tonight, Pacers and Cavs. I am curious to see if the Pacers win. It would be really amusing to see Cleveland lose. Indiana's good. I felt like they were a very respectable team last year, truly. Meanwhile, as far as Denver and Oklahoma City, there's a part of me that wants both the Cavs and Thunder out. I would like a year where something random happens in the NBA Finals and we get a team that wins that we do not see coming at all. And, okay, this perhaps is me bargaining a little bit, seeing as my favorite team since childhood is down 3-1 and just lost their best player to what seems to be a very devastating injury. I do not think it has been confirmed as a torn Achilles yet for Jason Tatum during last night's
Celtics-Knicks game, which, by the way, the Knicks were up 9 at that moment when it happened. So very good chance the Knicks would have won. I was not feeling great about their chances before that injury happened, to be perfectly honest, at least in that game. Still feel like they're going to win the series, but I might be me in denial in addition to doing the bargaining side of things. But it would be nice to see the Thunder taken out and the Pacers take out the Cavs. That's what I'm hoping for. So there you go. It's the most interactive sports talk show in town. 713-780-3776 to call to text. On YouTube at ESPN Houston. On Twitch at ESPN 975. From the 832. I was at the Astros last night. I couldn't find the El Tiempo hat, and the margarita lines were the longest lines. What the hell? Yeah, I think everyone's discovered that there's El Tiempos at the ballpark. Because when I went a couple of weeks ago, the El Tiempo lines took forever. Maybe they're already out of the Astros hats that they had. They released those last Monday. So maybe there was only a select few amount of hats. But I think that they're at the team store that's in left field. But yeah. Yeah, man. From 512, mucho gusto was muy mal last night. Nice, that's Spanish. I learned that from a little thing called Duolingo, which I haven't done in a while. From the 281, honestly, with the expansion of the playoffs to include the play-in, 1 through 10 seeds in both conferences should now be excluded from the lottery. Teams should not be able to compete for a place in the playoffs and be eligible for the first-round pick overall. The bottom 10 teams should be entered into the lottery, everyone else by seeding. I don't know. That's like sports welfare. If you're a team that's forward-thinking enough to acquire a bunch of draft picks from a team who's desperate to win now, like, should you be punished for that? No, I don't think so. I mean, if you are willing to give up one of your assets for all those draft picks, you should be able to pick in the top 10. The frustration is more that the Mavericks got last night after making it into the play-in tournament, which I suppose is what you're arguing, is if a team makes the play-in tournament, they shouldn't get in. But, I mean, they had the same record as another team in the play-in tournament. So Chicago could have theoretically won this too based off of this coin flip, at least if we are to believe the NBA lottery, which I know a lot of people are calling into question right now. From the 409, can we call the Christian Walker signing a bust yet? From the perspective of Christian Walker was supposed to be a guy who was patient at the plate and take a lot of walks, yeah. I don't think he's been terrible, but I also think that to this point, with all the strikeouts he's gotten, it's definitely not helping the Astros be a more patient team at the plate. Anyway, Paul Galancho, ESPN 97.5, 92.5, 713-780-3776 to call to text on YouTube at ESPN Houston, on Twitch at ESPN 975. Stick around.
ESPN 97.5. You're locked in with the Paul Galancho
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at Senate Avenue Brewing Company in Jersey Village. Here's Paul Gallant.
Last chance to dance the Paul Galancho. NBA draft lottery's probably rigged. And even if it's not, it sure seems rigged. So maybe going forward, the NBA should rig it so it seems less rigged. I think that would help. And by rig it, give it to the teams that no one cares about. Give them the number one overall pick. Poor Washington. Of all the teams that got shafted last night, Washington got shafted the most. I don't think Washington's been to a conference finals in 50 years. Last time Wizards made Eastern Conference Finals. I can't remember the last time they mattered. Like, John Wall, did they even really matter? 1979 was the last year the Wizards made it to the Eastern Conference Finals. They lost to the Seattle Supersonics in the finals that season. So 1979. They obviously were, I think, the Bullets back then.
This is what a sad franchise. They were, get this, when they were established, they were called the Chicago Packers. Imagine being a team in town as the Chicago Bears, same town, and your team nickname is the nickname of the football team, the one that runs the town, their arch rival. I mean, who chose that? They got renamed the Chicago Zephyrs the following season. Zephyrs? 1963, they moved to Baltimore, and they became the Baltimore Bullets. They were the Washington Bullets all the way up to 1997 when they rebranded themselves as the Wizards. A couple of years later, they got Michael Jordan. That must have been fun. He probably had a couple of fun years with him, but, like, that's it. Like, they had a couple of years with John Wall, who is now a podcaster, and they had a couple of years with Michael Jordan. That's it. And they had a chance, not a high one, it was 14% chance to get the number one overall pick, and they get left out of the top three altogether. I mean, goodness gracious, that sucks. They got hosed more than anybody. Rockets got hosed a little bit. Like, they went from having the ninth pick to the 10th pick, but, I mean, second seed in the Western Conference this past season. But holy smokes, man. If you're the Wizards, if you're the Hornets, if you're the Jazz, maybe less so the Jazz. At least the Jazz have been relatively successful recently. But there's been so many bad teams across the league. And the Mavericks, who were just in the NBA Finals last year and traded the reason that, I mean, we still do, they are still technically the defending Western Conference champions, even though they have not, they didn't make the playoffs and they don't have a chance to actually really defend their Western Conference title. They're the defending conference champions and they're going to get the number one seed. That's what they're getting. It's insane. Number one draft pick in the upcoming draft. Desert Stroh says, hey, at least one small market team got a top three pick. Sarcasm. Yeah, it's the Spurs. Who they will probably trade it to, I would imagine, the Milwaukee Bucks so that they can get Giannis Antetokounmpo. From the 832, man, I can't remember the last time Washington won a game in general. Well, the Commanders made it all the way to the NFC Championship game, but yeah, it's been rough for them. The Capitals did win a Stanley Cup. Nationals, of course, beat the Astros in a World Series not too long ago. But Washington sports have been pretty brutal for the last few years, and like the Wizards are never going to be good again. I think everyone's just accepted that. From the 281, imagine if Dallas doesn't pick Cooper Flagg. At this point, I ain't surprised. No, I think they'll pick Cooper Flagg. He's a two-way player. The whole reason that they traded Luka, at least the way that they tried to spin it, is that Luka, they don't like his off-the-court habits. Right? They don't like that he's not a two-way player. So, yeah, man. From the tax line, do you think it's ironic the Mavericks agree to give Luka to L.A., one of the worst trades ever that the NBA seemed to be behind, and then the NBA gives the Mavericks the first pick in the lottery system? No, I don't find it ironic. I find it suspicious to the point of thinking that the NBA is rigged. Like, the NBA basically last night said, yeah, we're cool with you thinking we're rigged. We're cool with it. Just call us rigged. We're not even going to rig it to seem like we're not rigged. And they should have rigged it to seem like it wasn't rigged. So there you go. Time for a little garbage time before we get out of here live at Senate Avenue Brewing Company.
Oh, I love trash.
Garbage time.
It's garbage.
Starts now.
I'm the trash man.
This is garbage.
This is one way to get rid of drugs on the street. Turkish police in a town called Lice decided to burn 20 tons of confiscated weed in the town square. The problem, ever since they have lit the weed in the midst of the town square, there has been smoke drifting in the area for 5 days, and citizens have become stoned and high. Turkey, an interesting place where you see politicians constantly punching each other in what are supposed to be civil meetings, and sometimes you'll see soccer players with a razor blade in their hand slashing other soccer players, and other soccer players having their wife offer a hitman $1.3 million to kill him. It's a very strange place, this Turkey. And now on top of that, they're accidentally burning weed in the middle of the town square and the entire town gets high. That would be inconvenient. But I imagine that by day two of the 5 days that the people were dealing with it, you might have a little bit of a tolerance and maybe you'd even like the stuff. What else is going on in garbage time? If you're going bald, guys, sure, like you could listen to Renato, Joel, some of the offerings that you have to get the hair back. But according to a UCLA study, rubbing molecules on your head of PP405, it wakes sleeping hair follicles. How about that? That's neato. So if you're going bald, all you got to do is just get a bunch of PP405. You could also get this. Go to Turkey. You can go to Turkey and do the Turkish hair transplant. And it will be very inconspicuous as you get back on a plane and fly home. No one will suspect that you have gone there to get your hair replaced. And you know what? Nothing wrong with that. If ladies, strong, powerful, independent women can, you know, get some friends upstairs, then why can't we get a friend for us upstairs, you know? Double standards. We can't be judged if we don't judge those things. We appreciate when they do that. They could appreciate when we do this. Fair trade. How about that? Also, very interesting news out of Ohio State. Urban Meyer decided to claim some sort of moral superiority. He says that he once threatened to leave Ohio State because the school wouldn't allow church and Bible study programs. So what he did, he changed the terminology for these church and Bible study programs so that it would be legal for Ohio State to have these on campus. But I just think it's really funny that Urban Meyer said that I will leave Ohio State if you don't let me do this. I will absolutely leave Ohio State unless you allow me to have these reflection services. That allowed them to circumvent a university lawyer's concern about separation of church and state statutes. So that's nice. So there you go, guys. It's the Paul Gallant Show. And that's a little thing that we like to call garbage time, which you hear at the end of every single show at about 2:52. We appreciate everybody who joined us today at Senate Ave Brewing Company. This is a really nice place. Killer Bees are going to be here for the next couple of hours, as is Glenn Davis for Soccer Matters. Going to be some big names stopping by to join Glenn's show. I'm sure the Killer Bees have a lot to say about the NBA draft lottery last night and your Houston Astros. Big thanks to Sean Mapes back at Mission Control. Big thanks to everyone who tuned in, for our texters, callers, YouTubers, and Twitchers. And Sean, I am merely Paul Gallant. So long, farewell, and have yourselves a wonderful Tuesday. The Killer Bees are next. Come out and hang out at Senate Ave Brewing Company. Peace!
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free Pocket Pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. WATER to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today.
Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.